bring you I Love a Mystery.
Tonight's case from our White Without Bleaching book is about a neighbor who was always giving advice.
She really is a good friend of mine, but she does give too much advice. The other day, though, the joke turned out to be on her.
Oh, how's that?
One wash day, she noticed how white my clothes were. And right away, without any preliminaries, she asked me if I was still risking harsh bleaching these days.
What'd you say?
I told her I didn't bleach them. But my soap, Oxidol, washes clothes white without bleaching.
So the advice giver took some advice that time. And when you try Oxidol and see how Oxidol's Hustle Bubble Suds lift dirt out, you'll understand how good that advice is. Yes, Oxidol Suds are so active and lively, they lift dirt out. That's why clothes wash clean without hard rubbing. And except for fruit stains or such, all your white pieces come white without bleaching. And of course, Oxidol's really safe for wash colors and rayons. Get that orange and blue package of Oxidol and wash your clothes white without bleaching. The Destroyer of Women, a new Carlton Morse adventure thriller. Five o'clock in the bleak, overhung drizzle of a late San Francisco afternoon in a private room in the Marina Hospital. This is room 708, occupied by Meredith Hendricks. Just next door, in 710, everything is quiet. The lights are subdued, and the nurse on duty moves softly with only the swish of her starched uniform. The door opens seldomly, and then, only to be closed quickly, and doctor and nurse hold brief whispered consultations with worried expressions in their eyes. That's room 710, occupied by Doc Long. Doc Long, who yesterday jumped from the roof of one building seven stories up, across an alley to the six-story roof of a second building in pursuit of a homicidal maniac. He would have been all right except that he misjudged his distance and plunged through a skylight and dropped another story into a business office. He has been mended and patched and broken bones have been set, but for 24 hours now he's not regained consciousness. That's Doc Long in 710. But next door in 708, Meredith Hendricks is quickly recovering from her experience with the Destroyer of Women, alias Dr. Joseph C. Ryder, consulting psychiatrist.
The death of that man has lifted a weight of horror from my mind such as you'll never know. I have a great deal to thank you for, Mr. Packett.
I didn't kill him.
Yes, I know. It was Lieutenant Harrigan who actually fired the shot, but you and Mr. Long were the ones who made it possible.
No.
Is he pretty bad?
He hasn't regained consciousness yet.
Something rather wonderful about Doc Long.
Yes, I think so, too.
Reckless, happy-go-lucky, friendly. Throwing his life away as freely as though it weren't worth anything to him.
It's worth a great deal to him.
Really?
He gets more pleasure out of being alive than anybody I know.
Oh, please, I hope it's going to turn out all right.
Nothing to blame yourself for.
Well, I got you into this.
You got us into nothing. We're detectives. We take a case or we don't. Forget it.
How badly is he hurt?
Well, even the doctor can't say yet.
No, I mean, where was he hurt?
Well, wasn't he hurt? Broken right ankle, compound fracture of the left forearm.
Oh, dear.
Five fractured ribs, dislocated jaw, deep wound in the thigh.
Wound?
Yeah, where a piece of jagged glass from that skylight went into him. Clear to the bone.
Oh, how awful.
Yeah, it was one of the things which kept him so long up in the operating room, digging broken glass out of his carcass.
I see.
Let's don't talk about it, do you mind?
No, of course not.
Do you feel in the mood to talk about the Destroyer?
There's something you want to tell me about him?
Well, you might be interested.
Then yes, of course.
Miss Hendricks, I know why you went to the nursing home for unbalanced patients.
Well, I told you I had spells.
No, you didn't have spells.
Oh, but
you were depressed being alone and with your husband overseas, yes, but What if it gave you the idea that you had anything else the matter with you?
Mr. Judd.
Judd, how'd you happen to go to him? He's not a doctor.
One of my friends said he helped her. Those massages he gave me were...
On the strength of your friend's recommendation and a few massages, you let him persuade you to go to his mental home for 4 months?
They treated me well.
Why shouldn't they? You were paying big money for it. The judge's just a front man. And the place is under investigation by the state medical board.
Do you mean Mr. Judd talked me into having something the matter with me?
Exactly. You're as normal as anyone. The doctors who've had you under observation here will testify to that.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah. Well, that explains how you happen to be in the nursing home.
Well, there are so many things about that horrible Dr. Ryder, though. I mean, so many things I can't understand.
Yeah, I'm just getting to him. The district attorney's staff went through his private papers and files and found the whole story.
Oh?
Yeah. He was a very small man, as you know.
Yes. But he seemed so much smaller when he was trying to kill me. I mean, smaller than I remembered him when he came to the nursing home as Dr. Ryder.
Yeah, well, that's easily explained. He wore shoes with lifts in them on ordinary occasions.
Lifts?
Yes, they're things actors use when they're playing a part that requires them to look taller than they actually are. Dr. Ryder had his shoes built up to 2.5, 3 inches. That's one of the reasons you didn't recognize him as being the person who called himself Herbert Freelich.
Oh, yes, he was much shorter.
When he's on the prowl as the destroyer or avenger, he wore sneakers or tennis shoes so he could move faster.
I see. Why did he steal those shoes from the farm woman he killed? You remember? He took her shoes.
Yeah, he took the shoes of all the women he killed.
All of them?
Yeah, it was kind of fetish. There were remarks about the women's shoes he was collecting in a sort of diary the police found. They also found in his apartment all the missing shoes from his 5 women victims.
Oh, how utterly unpleasant.
Yeah. Hey, I'm afraid I'm tiring you too much.
No, no. There's one more thing I've got to know. The destroyer's dead and I'm no longer in danger, but the evil that he instilled into the atmosphere still clings around me. I mean, how can a woman help but be fascinated by a creature who... well, who paid so much attention to her as Dr. Ryder paid to me?
I see.
No, I don't think you do. I'm seeing it badly. Well, it's just that the same horrible fascination surrounds Dr. Ryder for me as a snake must fascinate a hypnotized bird.
Yes, I understand better than you think I do, Mrs. Hendricks. What is it you wanted to know?
Well, what made him like he was?
Well, there are numerous kinds of insanity. Dr. Ryder was a man with a crooked brain, a kink in his mind. Some little thing like a crossed nerve or an enlarged blood vessel or an infinitesimal growth in the brain. In other words, it was some little thing out of kilter, which gave him a lust for murder.
Yes, but women. Why did he want only to kill women?
Because women had been the ones to hurt him. He's probably been undersized from childhood. Little girls his own age were larger than he. They undoubtedly derided him unmercifully about being the runt. All his life he was sensitive about his size, and all his life he didn't get along with women because... well, because they weren't impressed by such a little man, and then the weakness in his brain developed.
And Dr. Joseph C. Ryder, the consulting psychiatrist, became Dr. Ryder, the destroyer of women.
Yes. Oh, hello, Doctor.
Will you come, please?
Has Doc come, too?
Yes, sir. He wished to see you.
Oh, that's good. How is he?
Mrs. Hendricks, between you and me, that man has the constitution of an army mule.
Must be the Texas boy in
him. Well, come along now. You'll only be allowed to stay a moment.
You will come back and tell me how he is.
All right.
Right in here. 7:10.
Oh, how old, Jay?
Well, so your luck's still holding, huh?
I don't know. You have to ask the man in white here.
He says they couldn't kill you with an axe.
When did you ever hear of a more blame fool stunt than I pulled? Jumping through a skylight.
It's about up to your normal standard.
Why, you two-tailed, double chocolate hippo narcissist.
Oh, no, wait, Will. That'll be enough of this.
Hey, Doctor.
Yeah, you save that strength to mend a few abrasions and contusions, not to mention a half a dozen broken bones.
Yeah, you do what you're told, Doc.
Darn it.
Come along now, that's all.
So long, Doc.
So long, you old lop-eared cow. Don't get yourself into no messes until I get strong enough to get you out of them.
I won't. I'll be seeing you. Is he really going to be all right?
Yes, but he's going to need weeks of healing and then months of taking it easy.
Well, don't tell him that or he'll start fussing.
No, no, we'll tell him nothing. You're leaving the hospital now?
Yes, I... I promised to tell Mrs. Hendricks about Doc. Just a minute.
Oh, that's her son?
Yeah, he's a pretty sick boy, but a lot of spirit.
It's going to be all right?
Well, the doctor here promises it.
Well, aren't you coming in?
I've got to get up to the Fairmont Hotel and collect Doc's and my junk and check out.
You're not leaving town.
Well, I've got an office down in Hollywood I haven't seen in almost 5 months.
Oh, no.
Well, I haven't actually made up my mind. Anyway, I've got to leave the hospital for a while.
Yes, of course.
I'll drop in this evening. Bye.
Yes, goodbye.
I'm holding the elevator for you, Packard.
Oh, thank you. I didn't realize you were waiting.
Yeah. First floor, please. I wanted to speak to you. Mrs. Hendricks has instructed me to send Mr. Long's surgery and hospital and medical bill to her. That's satisfactory to you?
Why should she do that?
It's her wish.
You let me talk to her about that before you send it.
If you wish. Here we are. I'm going to the front office. I'll see you this evening or tomorrow morning.
Good. Thanks for all you've done. Goodbye.
Hey, look, you're Mr. Jack Packard, aren't you?
Yeah, what is this, girl in overalls and leather?
Well, you are, aren't you? You are Mr. Jack Packard, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, well, look, you wouldn't want an innocent man to get hanged by your neck, would you? You wouldn't want that, would you?
Hey, wait a minute.
Hanged for killing somebody you didn't kill at all? You wouldn't want that?
No, I don't think I would.
I knew it. I knew you'd say that. Come on, get on this motorcycle.
Do what?
Climb on a motorcycle behind me. Come on, get on. Okay. I told him you can't pin a murder on Nevada. We'll show him.
Capable hands can be pretty, too. Here's a lady who knows it's true.
Good evening, friends.
She's our guest for tonight.
My home is Chicago. I have 4 children.
You do your own housework?
Every inch.
You wash your own dishes?
Every dish.
Folks, she's got the loveliest hands.
Mr. Martin, you sell the mildest soap.
You use ivory soap for dishes?
Definitely. Don't my hands have that ivory look?
Definitely. And friends, your hands should have the softness and the whiteness that we call that ivory look. If strong wash day soap has made your hands look red and coarse, change to gentle ivory. Mild, pure, why, it's baby soap. More doctors advise ivory soap for skin care than all other brands of soap put together. In 12 days, your hands will have that ivory look. Be beautifully smoother, wonderfully whiter. Ivory sauce for dishes, about a penny a day.
Try it, ladies. You'll say, just 12 days is all it took. My hands now have that ivory look.
Right.
Good night.
Listen again Monday night for the new adventure of Jack Packard and Doc Long in You Can't Pin a Murder on Nevada, presented by Oxydol, the soap that gets clothes white without bleaching, and Ivory Soap, 99 44 100% pure. It floats. I Love a Mystery, featuring Michael Raffetto as Jack Packard and Barton Yarborough as Doc Long, is written and produced by Carlton E. Morse and comes to you Monday through Friday at the same time. Waste fights for the enemy. When you do dishes, don't waste your soap. Remember, soap contains materials vital to victory. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.